Hi there, this is Lon Solomon, and I'd like to welcome you to our program today. You know, it's a tremendous honor that God has given us to be on stations all around the nation, bringing the truth of God's Word as it is, uncompromising and straightforward. And I'm so glad you've tuned in to listen and be part of that. Thanks again for your support and your generosity that keeps us on the radio. And now, let's get to the Word of God.
It wasn't too long ago, Ken and I were having a little talk, and I was commenting to him about people who come into my office and sit down and say something like, you know, that was the biggest mistake I ever made in my life. And so Ken said, well, you know, what are some of the things that are kind of the things people say are the biggest mistakes in their life? And I began thinking about it, and there were two or three things that I hear over and over and over people say. So we thought, well, maybe this would be a good thing to talk about. Rather than having people make the mistake and then come in my office and go, wow, that was the worst mistake of my life, then maybe it would be better to come in here and do some preventive maintenance and talk to people about how not to make the mistake. And so for the next couple of weeks, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about some of the greatest mistakes that people make and how you and I can avoid them. Now, the first one we want to talk about, which is this evening, is we want to talk about the number one, without a doubt, most often one that I hear, and that is when it comes to people making a bad choice about a mate, about a husband or a wife, about a life partner. And this is the one I hear all the time. People go, I cannot believe I married that person. It's the biggest mistake of my life. You know, a couple years ago, my son, who's a student at the Naval Academy, I was driving down to see him, and as I was driving on the beltway on the way to Annapolis, this little red light came on my dashboard, right over where the alternator was. Well, I don't know much about cars. I mean, I'm not a mechanic. I do not have a mechanical mind. I can't even change my own oil. So I looked at it, and I thought, well, so what? I mean, the car's running fine. Every single thing seems to be going great. You know, nothing seems to be going wrong. I'm just going to drive. So I did. Drove all the way to Annapolis, spent the evening, had a wonderful time with my son, got back in the car, started it up, red light still on, car's running great. I said, man, I'll just deal with it. I'll just run, and sooner or later something will happen, and then I'll get it fixed. But this is not a problem. So I was coming back at night on the beltway, lights on, not in the right lane, and suddenly my car just quit. I mean, stop. No lights, no power steering, no power brakes, no nothing. Here I am in the middle of the beltway in the dark, and somehow, by the grace of God, I got over to the side of the road without getting myself killed. And when the tow truck guy came to get me, and I explained to him what had happened, he said to me, you have a college degree? What are you? Are you an idiot? Are you completely stupid? The light comes on the dash, it is on for an hour, and you don't pull over and deal with it? What's wrong with you? Well, gotta admit, not the smartest thing I've ever done in my life. What I'm here to tell you is there's a lot of us in our dating relationships that have a light go on the dashboard about the person we're going out with, but you know, just like me, we don't stop to deal with it. We just keep right on going. We say, well, we'll work it out, or they'll change after we get married, or we'll be able to figure it out, or it's not that big a deal. And friends, you know what? The truth of the matter is that no partner is perfect. That's true. But there are some deficiencies that are deadly. There are some red lights you need to slow down and pay attention to if you see them when you're dating somebody. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. I want to talk to you about five of those red lights that you need to slow down if you see them and maybe even say, this is off, I'm not going any farther, before you just keep going saying, oh, well, they'll change. No, they won't. Oh, well, they'll get better after we're married. Let me tell you something. It doesn't get better after you get married. It gets worse. It does. People are on their best behavior when they're dating. When you get married, all of that's off and you get the real person. Man, if you got a red light on the dashboard when you're dating, you can believe it's going to be a red spotlight after you get married. So these are important things. I don't want you to make a mistake. I don't want you to look back and say, wow, marrying that person was the worst mistake of my whole life. So let's see if we can help you come up with some ideas of what are the kinds of red lights you ought to be looking for. Now, I want you to open your Bible to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I've got five of these red lights I want to talk to you about so that you don't end up saying, wow, that was a horrible mistake that married that person. Now, right here in 2 Corinthians 6, Let's read the first one, okay? Verse 14, it says, do not be yoked up together with unbelievers. You know, of course, the imagery here is the imagery of two animals pulling a plow, pulling a yoke, pulling a farm implement together. And what the Bible is saying is that if you've got two animals on a yoke, you got to have them matched. You can have two horses, you can have two mules, you can have two oxen, but buddy, you put a mule and an ox on the same yoke, you have got serious problems. This is not going to work. And in the same way, God is saying you've got to equally match up partners in marriage in a number of ways. The first one is when it comes to their spiritual commitment. The first red light to be looking for is the red light of lack of spiritual commitment. I've had so many people say to me, well, you know, when we were dating, I asked him and he said, yeah, I'm a Christian. I asked her and she said, yeah, I'm a Christian. And then they said, now let's talk about something else. Okay, I'm a Christian. Let's not talk about that. And so we got married and then I found out nothing could be farther from the truth. Well, friends, we need to be careful that when we're dating, we really look at a person's spiritual life. You say, well, Lon, you can't look at a person and tell for sure whether they're a Christian. Well, that's right. You can't. But Jesus said you could look at people's fruit and you could tell an awful lot about where they stood in their walk with God. And when you're dating somebody, you ought to be looking for somebody who not just says, well, I'm a Christian, and doesn't just occasionally come to church, but you ought to be looking for somebody who has a zeal in their walk for God, who cares about their walk with God, who has their relationship with God as the number one priority in their life, who's serious about studying the Word of God, serious about worship, serious about being involved with other Christians in a small group, serious about using their life to serve God. You can tell somebody who really has Jesus Christ first in their life from somebody who doesn't. And if you're dating somebody, they don't have to necessarily be a non-Christian. If you're dating somebody and they are not sold out and excited and enthusiastic about their walk with God, I'm here to tell you, you need to see a red light at that moment go on your dashboard and you need to say, whoa, this is going to be a problem. Because I promise you, whatever spiritual commitment a person is putting out before marriage to try to hook you, if it's not genuine, it'll be gone the day after you say, I do. And I cannot tell you how many people I've had in my office who said, yeah, they promised they'd go to church, they promised they'd do this, they promised to do that, we got married, did nothing. Want to make sure, if you see signs that there's not an authentic spiritual dedication there, bingo, red light. Second thing is character. If you see signs of poor character, bingo, red light. Now, if this is the kind of partner that you're looking for, you're looking for someone when they're put to the test, they're going to display character. They're going to display integrity. They're going to display honesty. They're going to display responsibility. They're going to display a servant attitude towards other people. This is what character is about. You're looking for someone who is going to have kindness and compassion and courtesy for other people. And if you date a person long enough and you see them in enough positions, you will see whether or not you've got character. Let me tell you something. Take it from me, I've been married 25 years this year, and after you've been married for a while, the pizzazz wears off. The good looks go away. Now, I look almost as good as I did 25 years ago, but not quite. My wife looks better. Better, I'm on tape. My wife looks better than she used to look. But even so, you know, looks go away. And when the looks are gone, guess what you're married to? You're married to character. That's what you're married to. So this really matters. That person you're dating, do they lie? Do they cheat? Do they cut corners on ethical issues? Do they pay their bills on time? Do they tell people when somebody calls and they don't want to talk to them? Do they say, well, tell them I'm not home? Do they spin a yarn and not tell the whole truth to their boss to try to escape and get away from being late from work or being away? Do they call in sick when they're not really sick? What do? Watch them. And if you see signs that you don't have really strong character there, buddy, I'm telling you, gal, I'm telling you, it's a red light on the dashboard. You better slow down because that's what you're going to be married to and that's what you're going to have to live with. Number three is a person's attitude towards the permanence of marriage. You know, this is something to check out. How does somebody feel about the permanence of marriage? When my wife and I were dating and meeting with our pastor back then, you know, he was doing pastoral counseling with us before we got married. I'll never forget, he said to me and to Brenda, he said, "Now, guys, I want to tell you something. If you get married, divorce is not an option." And he turned to me and he said, "Lon, do you believe if you get married that divorce is not an option?" I said, "Yes, I do." He turned to Brenda and he said, "Brenda, do you believe if you get married, divorce is not an option?" She said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, if you both believe that and you're both committed to that," he said, "I'll marry you." Now, I got to tell you, every marriage goes through times where divorce would be the easiest thing to do. There's not a marriage I know that doesn't. My wife says all the time, "You know, if I wasn't a Christian, I'd have divorced Lon in the first year." And she's not kidding. She's not kidding. Now, nobody asked me how I felt, and so I don't ever get to offer my opinion. But my opinion is very similar, but I don't ever get asked. But the truth is, every marriage goes through those times where it's much easier to throw in the towel. So have you got somebody here that you're marrying who feels that divorce is not an option and is going to hunker down and get in the trenches and go through the mustard gas to make this thing work, or don't you? I was at dinner with some people out when we were in Wyoming, and one of the people we were out with was a young lady who had just had her second divorce. And she said at dinner, it was just a casual conversation, but as we were talking at dinner, she said, "You know, I went into both marriages with the attitude that this is for life. This is for good. We're not calling it quits. Divorce is not an option." She said, "But somehow I forgot to ask both men whether they felt that way." And she said, "In my first marriage, I had one toddler and I had a 3-week-old infant. And my first husband came to me and said, 'You know what? This is no fun anymore,' and walked out and left me with those two children." She said, "And then I was so stupid, I didn't ask the second guy how he felt, and now he's walked out on me." Let me tell you something. You ask, and unless you get somebody who can say, "I know the Bible, I understand the Bible, I believe the Bible, I know what God says, and I mean it, I'm in for life, we will work it out, divorce is not an option, we're together, you, me, and Jesus Christ, we will figure out a way to make it work." Unless you got somebody like that who can say that with integrity and honesty and authenticity, you got a red light on the dashboard, because when times get rough, if you haven't got somebody who really believes that, believe me, it'll be easier for them to walk, and people do it all the time. Christians do it. Number four, red light number four, is anger and temper and abusiveness that is explosive, whether it's verbal abusiveness or physical abusiveness. And these kind of people are dangerous people to be married to. They are dangerous. I have people in my office, ladies, who get beat up all the time. I mean, it's a constant stream of people that come through my office, ladies whose husbands hit them. And I say to these people, "Didn't you see this coming? You know, weren't there any warning signals?" And in almost every case, I'll have people say to me, "Well, you know, when we were dating, there were a few times where he just went completely ballistic, where he just completely lost it and went crazy, but it was never me. You know, it was on the beltway. He's screaming at some other driver, you know, trying to run him off the road into the median strip or whatever, you know, or it's at work. He's furious at something and bangs a hole in his desk or hits his hand through the wallboard. Yeah, there were a couple of those, but I figured, well, we'd work it out." "Yeah, well, they worked it out all right. Now he's not hitting wallboard, he's hitting her." Friends, let me tell you something. This is nothing to play around with. If you have a person that in your dating relationship, you see them go from normal to explosive, either verbally or physically, that is a huge red light. Watch out. Stay away from that. Because after you get married, they'll do it on you. And you say, "Well, Lon, it's only maybe happened once or twice." May I say to you, once is too many. Once is too many. It should never happen. And if it does, you don't want that. You just don't want it. Fifth and finally is shared values. Shared values. You know, how do you feel about the kinds of things that are going to make your marriage work in terms of values? You know, there's a lot of things that you just don't even think to ask about. Like, it never occurred to me to ask where my wife squeezed the tube of toothpaste. Never occurred to me to ask that. You know, don't you hate middle squeezers that ruin the tube? You know, I mean, there's some middle squeezers, and then there's those of us who like to put the plastic on and roll the thing up nice and neat. And the worst ones are the people who just leave the gunk all over the top, don't even bother to close it up. It's all sticky and gooey and nasty on the top. Now, this is a big issue. Who wants their toothpaste tube to do that to that toothpaste tube? Did I ever think to ask Brenda about that? No. I'll tell you something else. One of the biggest adjustments in our marriage that had never even occurred to me to ask whether we had a shared value about, and that is how you put the toilet paper roll on the ring. Now, see, there's only one way to do this, and that's to unroll it from the top, where you can reach it, where you can get your hands on it. She puts it on from the bottom where you can't get it. I have spent the last 25 years of my life switching the toilet paper in every bathroom in our house. It's ridiculous. It's terrible. I didn't think to ask about that. And I can see all these couples are sitting out there turning each other going, which way do you put it on? Which way do you put it on? Now, these are minor things, and they're funny. But you know, there's some other shared values that are not minor and are not funny. For example, what if you're in the military and that's your career? You better talk to that person you're thinking about marrying about how they feel about being married to somebody in the military. You better make sure that's a shared value that you both appreciate and that you guys both are excited about. What about if you want to be a missionary? What happens if one of you really believes God wants you to go and serve God in a full-time ministry capacity and the other one has no desire to be in the ministry whatsoever? Well, you better talk about that. I meet people all the time who say, I really believe God wanted me in the ministry, but I married somebody who said, absolutely not, and I'm so frustrated. Or they go ahead and do it, and the marriage breaks up. What about money? What about how a person feels about whether they want to serve other people or get rich? That's a pretty important value to make sure you agree on. My oldest son, who's in the Naval Academy, graduating, Lord willing, this May, is going off to med school. He's going to be a Navy doctor. And he's already told me, he said, Dad, when I finish paying the Navy back and I retire after my 20 years are in, what I want to do is I don't want to set up a private practice and make a lot of money and, you know, buy Bentleys and Maseratis and have a big house. That's not what I want to do. He said, I want to go to some third world country and I want to be a medical missionary, a medical doctor overseas. I said, well, I told him, I said, Jamie, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful thing to do with your life. But you better make sure you marry a woman who agrees with that. You better make sure, because most women marry doctors, they're thinking Bentleys, big houses, you know what I'm saying. You better make sure when you tell a woman you're planning to be a doctor that you finish the story and tell her where you're planning to go in 20 years, because that better be a shared value between you and this woman. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not saying that one value's right and the other value's wrong. That's not the point. The point is, do you have the same value? Do you agree? Are these shared values? And friends, this is what dating ought to be all about. It all ought to be about talking about these things and checking these things out and communicating on these things and finding out if you guys agree on these basic things. How about children? Do you want children or don't you want children? How many do you want? These are important things to talk about. And this is one of the reasons why, as a, just kind of an aside, why sexual activity before marriage is such a bad idea, because among the many reasons why it is, it's that when you get involved in sexual activity in a dating relationship, after a while, you're not interested in talking about all this stuff. All you're interested in doing is rubbing skin against skin. It takes over a relationship, so you don't spend the time talking about the things you ought to be talking about, communicating about the things you ought to be communicating about to make sure you've really got a good match. Instead, you just want to rub together all night. We'll talk more about that next week. Don't miss it. But it's true. Man, if you say, well, listen, I want to be this and I want to be that and I want to be the other thing, and the person you're dating says, well, I don't want to be that and I don't want to be that and I don't want to be that either, you got a red light. You better slow down and not say, oh, well, we'll work it out when we get married. No, wrong. Those are not the things you work out when you get married. Those are the things you better agree on before you get married. They say, well, Lon, listen, I appreciate all this, but you know what? If I wait to find a person who's got all these things right, I'll be single the rest of my life. You understand what I'm saying? I'll never find anybody like this. Well, don't kid yourself. Don't kid yourself. Yes, you will. But remember our saying, our favorite saying around here. It's better to be single than to be married what? To a jerk. Remember? That's our saying. It's better to be single than to be married to a jerk. And remember, that's true. Don't you lower the bar. Don't you lower the bar just to get married. That's wrong. There is nothing in the world that will mess up your day like a bad marriage. And it'll mess up every day. Every day. You got problems at work? You can fix them. If you can't fix them, you can get another job. If you've got problems with children, you work it through. If you've got problems with neighbors or problems with relatives, you work it through. If you've got problems with your car, you fix it or get a new car. But you have problems with your marriage. And I'm telling you, that ruins your day every day. Don't lower the bar. Don't lower the bar just because you're scared. If you don't lower it, you'll never find somebody. You wait for God to provide the right person. And you know what? If God's will is that you be married, God will provide the right person for you. And maybe it'll take longer than you want it to take. But you know what? That's all right. It's worth waiting. It's worth waiting rather than having a bad marriage. Trust me. I see it all the time. And how many times I've heard people say, oh, gosh, I'd rather be single than be dealing with what I'm dealing with. That's true. Well, I hope this is some help. Let's review. What are some of the issues to be concerned about? Number one, whether a person is really spiritually plugged in. Number two, character. Is this a person of good top quality character or not? Number three, how do they feel about the permanence of marriage? Is this a person that's going to be willing to go down in the trenches with the gas and all the other nonsense and make this thing work no matter what? Number four, do you see anger and temper and explosive abuse in this person? Do you see it? You don't want that. And number five and finally, how about values? The things that are most important to you, the things that are most central to your life. Does this person agree with those or don't they? These are the issues where you're looking for all green lights on these things. You get all green lights, wonderful. But if you get red lights, you better slow down and you better be careful. Don't lower the bar. Don't lower the bar just because you're scared. If you don't lower it, you'll never find somebody. You wait for God to provide the right person. And you know what? If God's will is that you be married, God will provide the right person for you, and maybe it'll take longer than you want it to take, but you know what? That's all right. And I hope this will help you, okay? There's a little poem I learned that I'd like to share with you in closing about all of this. It goes like this. He knows, he loves, he cares. Talking about God. Nothing this truth can dim. God gives the very best to those who leave the choice to him. And friend, if God wants you married, you keep that bar where it belongs. Don't you lower it. God will give you somebody, and you'll be so glad you waited for the right person. He'll give you the best, but you got to trust him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thanks for talking to us today about your role in our life. You do not want to be our lifeguard. You want to be our shepherd. And so, Father, since you are the good shepherd, we know that you have a desire to do that for us. Encourage our faith today that we are not alone as we walk through life. Encourage our faith that we don't have to figure this out ourselves. We have an all-knowing, all-powerful Heavenly Father who's right there to lead us at every step if we'll just trust him. So, Lord, help us embrace the role today that the Bible says you want in our life. Our personal shepherd, our personal guide. And Lord Jesus, thank you that we don't have to lead on our own understanding, but we can in all of our ways acknowledge you and you will direct our paths. Praise God. What an incredible, incredible offer. Lord, help us take you up on it each and every day. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, so what?